Redeemer.
Redeemed to love.
Redeemer.
Redeemed to build and serve.
All right, let's pray. Our Father, we pray, praising you for who you are and what we just sang, turning our eyes upon Jesus, our King, our Savior, and our friend. Father, we come before you humbly, truly humbly, and remember your grace. And we say that as we sing, turn our eyes upon Jesus. Father, we sing it from a place where we know you have fixed your eyes on us to pour onto us your love and mercy and grace and your transforming power, changing us every day to become more like Jesus. Father, please speak to us, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So after so many years, you mean I should use that one? Okay, let me use that then. As for Manchester Simon, when he says it, you have to obey. All right, there we go. Yes, yes, a little down. Yes, okay, thank you. Please take it back a little. Okay, that's fine. You can hear me, right? And then my hands are free. So after so many years, I have good news for you. Yes, I like that. Thank you. The temple is finally built. Yay! Look at you people. The temple is finally built. And it is time for party. It is time for celebration. So the people of Israel are going to celebrate. And guess what they are going to celebrate? The menu. The menu is meat. And it is also bread, but it is bread without yeast. I don't know how bread without yeast would look like. So they have come to the place. The Lord has sent them from Babylon and the places he had scattered them. And then they have arrived. They came with the purpose of rebuilding the temple of the Lord. The temple is finally rebuilt. They began with the altar. The altar was erected or re-erected. And then the walls started going up and the temple is built. And now they are calling to each other and they are saying to each other, it's celebration time, it's party time. And so what is this party they're going to be celebrating? Verse 19, please look at it. Ezra 6 and verse 19. The party is called the Passover. That is the name of the party. They're going to have the Passover celebration. Verse 20, look at it again. They're going to slaughter the Passover lamb. Christmas is coming. People are going to slaughter, or it would have been slaughtered for them, those who like to buy the frozen meat, if you don't want the fresh one. But this is Passover celebration, 1920. And verse 22, there is going to be the celebration of what they call the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is bread without yeasts. So after all these years, when we toiled and the building of the temple came to a halt for so many years, is that it? Is that where we're going? Is that all that we have been toiling for? The answer is what? Yes. That is what the temple is all about. It is about the celebration of the Passover and worship of the Lord. And so we have it. But you would have thought that after the building of the temple, why should it result in killing? Because we're going to spill blood. If you celebrate the Passover, you've got to kill a lamb. And it's not just going to be one, because there are so many people. And so we're going to celebrate it and kill and spill blood and all these other things. And if we're going to enjoy bread, let's enjoy bread. Why do we have to enjoy bread at the celebration, but bread without yeast? We want to come before God in worship. That is what this whole thing has been about. Here is the fact about coming to the Lord in worship in the building of the temple. Unless the Passover celebration takes place, you can't worship. Unless there is a feast of the Passover, the celebration of the Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there will be no worship. There will be no fellowship between them and God. What is happening is not the building they have erected. The building is there so that over there they can meet with God. They can come before God in worship. But before these people who have just returned from exile, who have just been removed from the presence of God because of our sin, because of their sin, before they can actually come before God, there's got to be this kind of celebration. Otherwise, no human being on earth can dare to worship God, nor approach Him. And so two things. There is the Passover, which is going to be a picture for us of an exchange of life. Anytime you hear of the Passover, then you know that something has died and given its life to another thing. We'll see that in a minute. And then when you celebrate the Feast of Bread Without Yeast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you should think of God removing sin from amongst His people. Yeast is the symbol of that. When Jesus was talking to His disciples and He said, be careful of the leaven of Herod and of the Pharisees. He wasn't talking about Herod's bread and the Pharisees' bread. He was talking about the hypocritical sin of these people. And He says, be careful. So the yeast stands for that. The Passover, something is going to give its life for another. The yeast in the bread, which has been removed, God is doing away with sin from amongst His people. Let me take you to Exodus about the Passover, and please listen to it very carefully. 5 to 13. I've just read this long read. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male, a year old, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on fire with unleavened bread, bread without yeast, and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head, its legs, and its inner parts. And they shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains the morning shall be burned. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, He says to them. I will explain in a minute. Verse 24 to 27. Let's look at that, of Exodus chapter 12. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as He has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For He passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, when He struck the Egyptians, but He spared our houses, and the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Now let me take you briefly to chapter 13, verse 3, and then verse 9. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you come out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you're going out. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which He swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. And it shall be to you a sign on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. So what is going on with the Passover? Here is what is going on in Egypt. In Egypt, God descends in judgment. He descends in judgment on the land. And guess what he does? He gives instruction to Moses for the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. And then when he does that, he says, when you kill the lamb, you take some of its blood, put it on the doorpost, and then on the lintel. And when I descend in judgment on the land of Israel and I come, do you know what would distinguish you, the people of Israel, from the people of Egypt? It wouldn't be you. It would be the blood. And so when I see the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, I'm going to spare you. There wouldn't be death in your house. There wouldn't be death of the firstborn. I will pass and not execute judgment because death has already taken place in your house. It is the death of the lamb. And I will go to wherever death hasn't taken place and they will pay the price for themselves by dying. And so the summary of the Passover celebration and the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Exodus is this. One word, spared. The Lord spared us. The Lord spared us not because we were better than the Egyptians. In actual fact, some of the things the Egyptians did, we were practicing as well. And the Lord spared us. And this is why he spared them. They celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as I have mentioned. Because when the Lord spared them, the Lord is doing something. He's going to remove, he's going to purify them. He's going to bring them as a people of worship into his presence. The two are going together. Salvation like that is one package. He forgives them and then he purifies them as an ongoing thing. Why is this so important then for them now? The people, this was thousands of years back in the Exodus. Why is it that we have finished building the temple and we need to celebrate it as well? Because of the same word, he spared us. We were the same people who were removed from this land into exile, away from the presence of God. Why did he do that? Because of idolatry, because of sin, because we worshipped other gods rather than God. We created for ourselves gods in our own image, and we trusted in something else rather than trusting completely in God alone. We trusted in the very gift he had given us. We turned the gift of God into gods. And we saw God as a means to an end, a means to a better job and a land flowing with milk and honey and an amazing life. God is always a means. So we paid God a lip service in the land, and God says, you shall not do that with me. For I am holy. I made you, saved you for myself that you worship me alone. And we said, we won't worship you alone. There are other things that are so tangible for us. If we have them, we feel secure. And therefore, we will celebrate these ones. We will worship these ones. But we're not going to abandon you, God. We will just add you. It is Jesus and something. Our confidence is in him, but our confidence is in something else. And God says, I will have none of it. If I permit this in my world, then I'm not holy. And so he sends them out. And they go into slavery, into exile again. And now they are back to the land. They are back to the land. What a celebration. There is going to be a restoration between them and God. Fellowship is going to be restored. And he says, you have to begin that with the celebration of the Passover. Why? Because we always have to remember that it is our sin that took us there, and yet he spared us. You know how you define the Christian life? God spared us in order to purify us. God spared us. You don't purify yourself and come to God to accept you. See what I've done. No. He spared us. You know why you're a Christian? Because God spared you. If you are exploring what it means to be a Christian, Christians are people that God has spared. They deserve judgment like any other person under the sun. And yet God had mercy. That is what it means. And yet he had mercy in order to change you and to change me. Oh, we fall sometimes. Things go wrong sometimes, but we come back to him in order to change that. That is the whole goal, that we might worship him alone. And so, look at verse 19. Why is it important that they celebrate the Passover? The returned exile, verse 19, kept the Passover. Verse 20, the second part. So they slaughtered the Passover lamb for who? For all the returned exile. The second part of verse 20, for the fellow priests, for themselves, the Passover. Verse 21, the people of Israel who had returned from exile. Why is the repetition of these two things? The Passover, and also those who have returned from exile. The people of Israel who have returned from exile. The writer is intentional. We are removed by nature from God. There is no fellowship. We cannot dwell in his presence. And therefore, the return from the exile have to come back to him through the blood that was shed for them. But do you know the deepest meaning of the exile? It's not being removed from Jerusalem to Babylon. As I have mentioned, it is actually being removed from the very source of life, which is God himself, God in Jesus. And when they returned, they were not returning to Jerusalem. They were returning to God himself. And that is why the temple was the main focus at the start of it all. Now let me say a little bit about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, even though I have mentioned it. You've got to hold the two together in your mind. When God had saved them and they had come back, and there has been an exchange of the Lamb giving his life for them, it doesn't end there. By that same token, you remember in Exodus, those two celebrations went together. It's not like you celebrate the Passover and later you celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, bread without yeast. The two went together. You ate them together, and the bitter herbs and so on and so forth. When God saves his people and forgives them, he has an agenda. He's conforming them to himself in the image of Jesus. He's removing bit by bit for the remaining of their lives sin. Every yeast must go. Every trace of sin must go. Until one day, Jesus appears again and every trace of sin is gone. Then we are like him. And so that is what is going on here. God's purpose is being unfolded in his people. They remember judgment is removed, and they remember God's agenda is changing us to become like Jesus. That is the only way we can come to God. That is the only way we can actually, truly worship. Without that, there is no fellowship between any human being and God. And let me pause here and say this. Maybe you're here and you are feeling the weight of your own sin. Maybe you're feeling it. Something might have taking place in your life, and guilt won't leave you. I want to remind you of the Passover. Look at this again. Let me take you to something that is not in my notes, but I feel I should draw your attention to it. Verse 21. It was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and also by everyone who had joined them and separated themselves from uncleanness of the people of the land and worship. They kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. For all the days of the week, if you like, they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Every time, they had to put this before them. The point I'm trying to make to those of us here who may be battling with the guilt and the weight of our own sin is this. We've got to keep this celebration before us. Otherwise, we can't make any progress. We've got to keep the lamb that was slain for us. We've got to keep God's agenda before us. God, you are the only one who can change me and remove all the yeasts. You are the only one. Please do it. Please help me to hold on to the fact of the lamb that was slain in my place so that you spared me. And if you are not a Christian, what the only thing that will make you a Christian, the only thing that will give you eternal life is when you turn to God and say that my religion can't save me, my good behavior can't save me, even though he saves us to change us, the only thing that can save me is when I turn to Jesus and I believe that when he was slain on the cross, it was actually me who deserves that. And guess what? Not only that, he gives you his life. He takes your death and then he gives you his life. That is the only way. That is the only way. And I put that before you to come to him if you're not yet a believer. So return, the word that is constantly accused. The people who return from exile, the people who return from exile, everyone. There is no other place to go than to return to him, the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul, in the New Testament, let me read it for you, because he takes this same idea and then he says this, 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8. Your boasting is not good, he says. Do you not know that a little yeast, leavens the whole lump. A little yeast can spread through the whole lump. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been crucified. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, look at what Paul is saying. Take it in the middle. Don't take it from the beginning nor the end. He says, for, because Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Now everything flows from there. What does he say? Because Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, let us therefore celebrate the festival, not holding on to our old way of life, but coming to him with a new repentant heart that wants to go in the direction of sincerity and truth, submitting to God. So if you want to be changed, it is holding on to what God himself has done for us. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed, not only for our forgiveness, but for our transformation. And so Paul says that it doesn't make sense if indeed Christ, the Passover lamb, has been sacrificed and the celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread has taken place and we still hold on to the old ways. Do you not know that he died in order that we will not only be forgiven, but also be sanctified? By the same cross, be changed by it. Everything is there. It is only when we have put our faith completely there that we would experience any form of change. You can be a good person, a very decent person. You cannot be the person God wants you to be apart from God. Unless God works in you, unless God forgives you, and unless God cleanses you, and unless by the power of his Holy Spirit through his word changes you every day, you cannot make it to heaven. You cannot be the sort of person God wants you to be. Now let's finish off. What is the goal of all this? What is the goal of all this? The goal of all this, when God restores his people and they celebrate the Passover lamb and the celebration of the bread without yeast, what is the goal of all this? Verse 21, the goal of all this is worship. It's so that we, realizing what God has done, in the Passover lamb, and God's purpose is in his grace, making us what he wants us to be in Jesus. When that has happened, do you know what we do? We surrender every aspect of our lives to him on the altar. It is called worship. It includes our singing, but it is bigger than our singing. It is all of our lives presented to him and said, you saved it in the first place. You are changing it in the first place. I offer it all to you. And every day, in his hands, he is going to conform us bit by bit into the image of Jesus. And do you know what comes out of worship? If we dedicate every aspect of our lives to worship because of what God has done in Christ, do you know what happens to us? Do you know our experience? our experience is an experience of joy. Money is good. Breakthroughs are good. May the Lord give you some. None of them will give you the joy you need until God himself steps into your life and begins to work his work that not even adversity, not even suffering can take away from you that kind of joy. It is the joy that cries and is at peace at the same time. It is the joy that recognizes that, oh, we are not home yet. We're still waiting for Jesus. There is difficulty, but insofar as life is completely submitted to him, he will make us joyful in a way the world cannot understand. Let me show you that in the last verse of 22. Verse 22. Ezra. Let's go back there. Listen. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with what? Come on. This, I wanted to see people being a little bit charismatic here and get up and say hallelujah. Listen to it again. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them what?
Joyful.
Because the Lord has helped them by turning the heart of the king of Assyria. When all is said and done, our God is not a cruel God. When he calls us to surrender everything to him, he knows what he's talking about. He has taken the initiative already. He offered Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus died in order to change us. And you know the goal, when all is offered to him in worship, it is joy. Joy that the world can't give you. Joy that we wouldn't find anywhere. And so here is my admonition to us this week. Whatever happens, the goal of our salvation is worship. Worship to the only glorious God. And so this week, whatever happens, worship. Whatever happens, worship. Whatever happens, what? Oh, I trained at the University of Cape Coast as a teacher. I never taught. But I'm going to practice something. Okay? You ready? Let me unleash my teaching skills that has gone rusty on you. So I'm going to say that whatever happens this week and beyond, then you respond, worship. All right? Whatever happened this week and beyond,
worship.
We're going to try two more times. Whatever happens this week and beyond,
worship.
Whatever happens this week and beyond,
worship.
That is exactly what he saved us for. We're going to offer everything to the Lord Jesus, and we will trust him that he will make us joyful in the end. Let's pray.